Greetings again, brothers and sisters. Welcome to Roman Through Romans on Monday, July 19th. It's episode 7 as we walk through the letter to the church in Rome written by the Apostle Paul, which means it's chapter 7. Now, about yesterday, our Sabbath day, made a decision after conversing with a couple of our regular listeners that we're going to use Sundays, our Sabbath days, as refresh and catch-up days. So if you haven't been able, you know, these daily devotions are chock full of rich stuff from Paul. So we want to give you all the ample time you may need to absorb it. So we're going to use Sundays, yesterday and the upcoming Sunday, at least those Sundays, for catch-up and review. It's a good day to say take an hour and just listen to the last 5 or 6 chapters together and kind of get the flow back of what you're hearing on a daily basis. So anyway, that was that. So we're back on Monday, and here we go with chapter 7. But before we get to chapter 7, let's refresh a little bit about chapter 6, which we heard on Saturday. Chapter 6, you know, follows the chapter, remember, when Paul spent a lot of time comparing Adam and Christ, the one man who did it wrong and got everybody wrong, and then the one man who did it right and made most people right, Adam and Christ, their choices that were brought into the world. And then Paul turns to us in chapter 6 and asks if we should continue in sin once we have been saved. And he gives several reasons why we must not, that we died to sin's power over us, that we are now servants to righteousness, and what good did sin ever bring us anyway, right? So now as we transition to chapter 7, a discussion of what it means to be released from the law of Moses. What does it mean to be released from the law? We'll call this torn between one way and another. So let us hear now. Chapter 7, Paul's letter to the church in Rome. You shouldn't have any trouble understanding this, friends. For you know all the ins and outs of the law, how it works, and how its power touches only the living. For instance, a wife is legally tied to her husband while he lives, but if he dies, she's free. If she lives with another man while her husband is living, she's obviously an adulteress. But if he dies, she is quite free to marry another man in good conscience, with no one's disapproval. So, my friends, this is something like what has taken place with you. When Christ died, he took that entire rule-dominated way of life down with him, and he left it in the tomb, leaving you free to marry a resurrection life and bear offspring of faith for God. For as long as we live that old way of life, doing whatever we felt we could get away with, sin was calling most of the shots as the old law code hemmed us in. And this made us all the more rebellious. In the end, all we had to show for it was miscarriages and stillbirths. But now that we're no longer shackled to that domineering mate of sin, and now that we're out from under all those oppressive regulations and fine print, yes, now we're free to live a new life in the freedom of God. But I can hear you say, if the law code was as bad as all that, it's no better than sin itself. Now, that's certainly not true. The law code had a perfectly legitimate function. Without its clear guidelines for right and wrong, moral behavior would be mostly guesswork. Apart from the succinct surgical command, "You shall not covet," I could have dressed covetousness up to look like a virtue and ruined my life with it. Don't you remember how it was? I do, perfectly well. The law code started out as an excellent piece of work. What happened, though, was that sin found a way to pervert the command into a temptation, making a piece of forbidden fruit out of it. The law code, instead of being used to guide me, was used to seduce me. Without all the paraphernalia of the law code, sin looked pretty dull and lifeless, and I went along without paying much attention to it. But once sin got its hands on the law code and decked itself out in all that finery, I was fooled and fell for it. The very command that was supposed to guide me into life was cleverly used to trip me up, throwing me headlong. So sin was plenty alive, and I was stone dead. But the law code itself is God's good and common sense, each command sane and holy counsel. And I can already hear your next question. Does that mean I can't even trust what is good, meaning the law? Is good just as dangerous as evil? No, again, sin simply did what sin is so famous for doing, using the good as a cover to tempt me to do what would finally destroy me. By hiding within God's good commandment, sin did far more mischief than it could have ever accomplished on its own. And I can anticipate the response that is coming. Quote, "I know that all God's commands are spiritual, but I'm not. Isn't this also your experience?" Unquote. Yes, I'm full of myself. After all, I've spent a long time in sin's prison. What I don't understand about myself is that I decide one way, but then I act another, doing things I absolutely despise. So, if I can't be trusted to figure out what is best for myself and then do it, it becomes obvious that God's command is necessary. But I need something more. For if I know the law, but still can't keep it, and if the power of sin within me keeps sabotaging my best intentions, I obviously need help. I realize that I don't have what it takes. I can will it, but I can't do it. I decide to do good, but I don't really do it. I decide not to do bad, but then I do it anyway. My decisions, such as they are, don't result in actions. Something has gone wrong deep within me and gets the better of me every time. It happens so regularly that it's predictable. The moment I decide to do good, sin is there to trip me up. I truly delight in God's commands, but it's pretty obvious that not all of me joins in that delight. Parts of me covertly rebel, and just when I least expect it, they take charge. Listen, I've tried everything. and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Isn't that the real question? The answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does. He acted to set things right in this life of contradictions, where I want to serve God with all my heart and mind, but I am pulled by the influence of sin to do something totally different. That completes chapter 7 of the book of Romans. Amen. And blessings on your Monday.